ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नारायण चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् तत्त्वचायम् उदीरयेत् नास्तप्रयेषु अबाध्रेषु नित्यं भगवतं सेवया भगवद्युतमाश्लोके भक्तिर्प्रभाति नैष्टिकी। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 14, text number 11. Urakshi bahavo mahyam spuranti anga puna puna vepatus chapi ridaye arat dashanti vipiyam Urakshi bahavo mahyam spurantyanka puna puna vepatus chapi ridaye anata shanti vipiyam Urakshi bahavo mahyam Spurantyanga puna puna Vepatuscha piridaye Aradashanti vipriyam Urakshi bahavo mahyam Spurantyanga puna puna Vepatuscha piridaye Aradashanti vipriyam Surantyanga puna puna.
Thank you. Mataji's.
Thighs, Akshi, eyes, Bahava, the arms, Mahyam, Imai, Spuranti, quivering, Anga, left side of the body, Puna, Puna, again and again, Vepatu, palpitation, cha, and, also, yeah. Api, certainly, Ridaye, in the heart, Arat, due to fear, Dashanti, indicating, Vipriyam, undesirables. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The left side of my body, my thighs, arms, and eyes are all quivering again and again. I'm having heart palpitations due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. Purport. Material existence is full of undesirables. Things we do not want to, are forced upon us by some superior energy, and we do not see that these undesirables are under the grip of the three modes of material nature. When a man's left eye, arm, and thigh all quiver constantly, one must know that something is going to happen which is undesirable. These undesirables are compared to fire in the forest. No one goes into the forest to set fires, but fires automatically take place in the forest, creating inconceivable calamities for the living beings of the forest. Such a fire cannot be extinguished by any human efforts. The fire can be extinguished only by the mercy of the Lord, who sends clouds to pour water on the forest. Similarly, undesirable happenings in life cannot be checked by any number of plans. Such miseries can be removed only by the mercy of the Lord, who sends his bona fide representatives to enlighten human beings and thus save them from all calamities. Om Gyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Uminitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishna Ibdare Smaditama Krishna Goswami Namine Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishna Ibdare Simade Bhaktivinanda Swami Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Prasjati Shatani. Vurakshi Bahavo Mahyam Spurantyanga Puna Puna Vepatashchapi Ridaye Ara Dashanti Vipriyam. Translation again. The left side of my body, my thighs, arms, and eyes are all quivering again and again. I'm having heart palpitation due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he writes that material existence is full of undesirables. And we all know that the most undesirable ones is one has to suffer from old age, disease, and death. In China, the government is constantly making plans. We have famous 5-year plans in China that the government, is making 5-year plan to solve this problem and that problem. For example, they make 5-year plan to improve the living standard of the people in China. That after this 5-year plan, the living standard of the people in China has to reach this high, like that. So although the government is trying very hard to make all kinds of plans to improve the living standard of people in China, but still, every day, there are so many people in China are dying, are getting disease. So ultimately, all the plans to improve, the life is failed. Because by nature, that's the nature of this material world. Yeah. This material world is actually just like a big prison house. Like the government, set up the prison house. Who will go to the prison house? Only the outlaws, only the citizens who do not abide the laws of the government, he will be sent to the prison house. And what the people is doing in the prison house, they are not going to the prison house to enjoy a good life. Actually, they are putting in the jail to be punished. Like in China, many prisoners in the jail, they have to work very hard. They have to carry lots of heavy logs, to make some constructions, or they have to they have to be punished very severely, If they do not follow the instructions of the policemen in the jail, they will be beaten again. And the living situation in the jail is very horrible. Yeah. So many prisoners, they have to squeeze in one small room. They are going there not to enjoy life. So they are going there to be punished. So why the government want to punish the criminals like that? Because the government want to give the criminals a chance to follow the law again. So similarly, this big material universe is actually just like a big jail. Because whoever comes to this material world, he has to suffer from old age, disease, and death. No matter how rich we are, how famous we are, how powerful we are. Therefore, we should, really understand that understand this point. Yeah. So an intelligent human being, he has to inquire, like Prabhupada said in the purport, that there must be some superior power, superior energy, you know, controlling everything. An intelligent human being, he has to inquire, who is that superior energy controlling everything? Am I be able to establish good relationship with that higher being or not? Because if we can establish good relationship with that higher being, and if that higher being is pleased with our, you know, sincere endeavor, then he can set us free from this miserable condition of life. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that there's a nice verse also describing the nature of this material world. It is said that Abrahma Bhuvano Loka Puna Avati Nojuna Man Upatya Van Upatya Tu Konteya Puna Jama Puna Jama Navidyate. It is said here that from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. So that means, you know, no matter what situation we are in this material world, even if we become the highest living being, like Lord Brahma, still he has to suffer from repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. And the only way to solve this problem, like Lord Krishna said here, is to become his devotee, to attain Krishna's abode, the spiritual world. In the book of Coming Back, it reminds me the story of a great king, Chitraketu Maharaj. In a small book, Coming Back. Although Chitraketu Maharaj, he was a very great king, he has got so much opulence, many queens, but he was not happy. He was feeling suffering like anything. Why? Because, you know, he does not have even a son. And one day, but his desire to have a son is so strong. And one day, a very great mystic sage, Angira, he came to Chitraketu's palace. So when Chitraketu Maharaj saw the great sage Angira Muni, so he immediately stood up from his throne and paid respects, you know, to the great sage. Then the great sage Angira Muni speaks to him, saying, O King Chitraketu, I can observe that your mind is disturbed. Your pale face reflects your deep anxiety. Have you not achieved your desired goals? Angira Muni inquired the king like that. Because Angira Muni, he was a great mystic, so he knew the cause of the king's distress. But for his own reason, he questioned Chitraketu, as if in need of knowledge. So after hearing the inquiry from Angina Muni, King Chitraketu, he replied, "O Angira, because of your great penance and austerity, you have acquired complete knowledge. You can understand everything, both external and internal, about embodied souls like myself. O great soul, you are aware of everything, yet you ask why I am in such anxieties." So we can understand even a great king like Chitraketu, he's suffering, he's in great anxiety. Yeah. So King Chitraketu, he continued saying, "Therefore, in response to your question, let me disclose the cause of my suffering. A starving man cannot be satisfied with a garland of flour. In the same way, my vast empire and immeasurable wealth mean nothing, for I am bereft of a man's true wealth. I do not have a son." So he told Angina Muni why, you know, he was suffering like anything, because he do not have a son. "Can you not help me become truly happy by arranging for me to have a son?" So the king was asking Angina Muni this question, begging to have a son. And we know, you know, the great sage, they were always merciful. So Angina Muni agreed to help the king. He performed a special sacrifice to the demigods and then offered the remnants of the sacrificial food to the most perfect of Chitraketu's queen, Krita Duty. So we know that Chitraketu Maharaj, he has many queens, and out of so many queens, there is one whose name is Krita Duty. So he offered the remnants of the sacrificial food to this queen and said, "O great king, you will now have a son who will be the cause of both jubilation and lamentation." So when Chitraketu Maharaj heard the words from the sage Angira, he was overjoyed to learn that he would finally get a son. But at the same time, he wondered about the sage's last words. Yeah. So Chitraketu Maharaj, he was wondering, Angira must have meant that I will be greatly happy when my son is born. That is certainly true. But what did he mean by the child being the cause of lamentation? Of course, being my only son, he will automatically become the heir of my throne and kingdom. Therefore, he might become proud and disobedient, and that might be the cause for lamentation. But a disobedient son is better than no son at all. So the king, he was, you know, wondering like this himself. In due course of time, Krita Duty became pregnant, and the son was born. Hearing this news, all the inhabitants of the kingdom rejoiced. King Chitraketu could not contain his joy. As the king carefully raised his infant son, his affection for Queen Krita Duty increased daily, and he gradually lost affection for his barren wives. The other queen constantly lamented the fate for a wife who has no son, is neglected at home by her husband, and her co-wives treat her exactly like a maid servant. So the barren queens burned with anger and envy. As their envy increased, they lost their intelligence, and their hearts became hard like stone. They met secretly and decided that there was only one solution to their dilemma. One way to regain the love for their husband, poison the child. So the other queens of the king, they decided to poison the baby. So they feed the baby with a poison cake, and died. And the small child died. So when King Chichaketu saw the death of the child, the sudden death, he became nearly blind and grieved. His lamentation grew like a conflagration. And as he ran to see the dead child, he repeatedly stumbled and fell. Surrounded by his miseries and surrounded by his ministers and court officers, the king entered the boy's room and collapsed at the child's feet. His hair and clothes scattered in all directions. When he regained consciousness, he was breathing heavily. His eyes were filled with tears, and he was unable to speak. So we could see that in this material world, when one gets something he desired, then he is very happy. But when one cannot get things he desires, or when he loses something valuable, then he's feeling suffering like anything. So that is exactly the case of King Chichaketu. And then later on, Angina Muni came back with Nad Muni. And by Nad Muni's mystic power, he called back that deceased soul into the boy's body again. And the dead boy start to sit up again and start to speak to the parents to give them some spiritual instructions. Let's take a look of the instructions of the small boy, huh? So the soul continued in this material world, which is like a swiftly flowing river. All people become friends, relatives, and enemies in due course of time. They also act mutually and in many other relationships. But despite these various transactions, no one is permanently related. Chichaketu was lamenting for his son, who was now dead, but he could have considered the situation otherwise. He could think, this living entity was my enemy in my last life, and now, having appeared as my son, he's prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. Why should the king not consider his dead son his former enemy, and instead of lamenting, be jubilant because of an enemy's death? Yeah. And then, you know, the living being in the body of Chichaketu's child continues, just as gold and other commodities are continuously transformed from one place to another through buying and selling, so the living entity, as a result of his karma, wanders throughout the universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life through the semen of one father to another. And then, you know, the board continued saying, the living being is eternal and has no relation with so-called fathers and mothers. He falsely accepts himself as their sons, as their son, and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation. The living entity is eternal and imperishable. He has no beginning and no end, nor does he take birth or die. The living being is equal in quality to the Supreme Lord. Both are spiritual personalities. But because the living entity is so small, he is prone to be illusioned by the material energy, and thus he creates bodies for himself according to his different desires and activities. So after, you know, speaking this, the soul in the Chichaketu Maharaj's son left again. And the body fell to the ground again. So actually, the verse from the son of Chichaketu Maharaj is very very instructive. It reminds me another verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It is said, where he said, "Machas pashas tu kunteya sitoshna sukha dukada." Agama payano nityas tams titi chaswa bharata. That the non-permanent appearance of happiness and their disappearance in due course of time is just like winter and summer season. They all arise from our sense perception. And one should not be disturbed by this kind of changes. Because happiness and distress in this material world, they are all based on the body. But we are not this material body. We are actually spirit soul within this material body. So one should not be affected by the by the situation of this material world. No. So whatever, that means we should not be affected by the undesirable happiness of this material world. And we can only attain this by the practice of devotional service to the Lord, by practice this Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So I'll just stop here. Are there any questions and comments? Okay. Jai Gantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Haribo. Okay.